possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Old friends in the studio here right now.
There's a little, little advice I was just doling out. Advice for young people that might one day have a job.
Yes.
Hopefully almost all of you.
Yep.
Unless you're some trust fund kid. Go do you. But never, ever, ever, ever forget that your job is to make revenue for your company.
Yes.
And some people forget that sometimes.
In
and
the
they start
end.
Thinking like, I want the company to be sure that I'm being fulfilled in every single way. Your job is to make money for the company.
If they tell you you're being measured by any other metric, that may very well be true, but the primary metric is cost.
All that other good stuff, the foo-foo, feel-good stuff, it's all good. Yes, and that helps you ultimately
profit, make
more money for the company.
Cheddar.
You're going to be judged, and they'll have checklists and score ratings and all of these other things. At the end of the day, they want to know, is this guy actually helping our company
That's
make money?
Right. Lettuce.
Yes.
Cheddar. Scarole.
Yeah.
It's all code for money. Hey, speaking of old friends, look who's on the hotline right here. Joining us right now, he is the new co-host of the Scoop City podcast for The Athletic with Diana Rossini and Chase Daniel. Of course, Houstonians remember him from his time covering the Texans for CSN Houston and also his time with the NFL Network. Our good friend James Palmer joining us. James, how you doing, my friend?
I'm great, boys. I'm a little upset, though. I should have had Seth on speakerphone with my son sitting here before he starts seventh grade just to let him get in the right mindset of what's to come and what he needs to accomplish here.
That's right.
You know, he's a kid's he's a constant danger of becoming a Marxist or something. We need James Palmer. James did that for me. I was during COVID. I was speaking at an alumni thing for the football team, like a career day type thing, but it was via Zoom at Cornell. And I had James Palmer and I had Ross Tucker and another couple of people just do little 1 minute videos giving advice to the youth. And it was thank you, James, for doing that.
Oh, nice. So James, what was your advice to the youth? Do you remember that? Or if not, just make something up right now. What did you tell Seth?
Well, I told him really, which is funny because this now is coming full circle. I remember my specific minute video was essentially, it comes down to cost. Are you making the company money? That's the only thing that matters. Is that if you're making them cheddar,
lettuce.
Scroll, I think I said, even, which is lettuce also. I said it all, which is weird. So, like, he must have watched the video again this morning like he usually does to get a day
for inspiration. Yeah,
I put a musical bed underneath it, and it's even better. That was I like the part where you told everybody not to worry so much about ethics because, again, remember, it's about the money.
Yeah, it's about entertainment. We're in an entertainment business. Values, ethics, come on.
Yeah.
Journalism?
James Palmer joining us. James, it's been fun watching you over the last year or so kind of, I guess kind of take your game in a different direction here. And this is a big one here. This Scoop City podcast is a big deal with Diana Rossini and Chase Daniel. Tell us about that opportunity. We'll talk some NFL here in just a second, but congrats on that, and just give us a little insight as to what the next chapter is here for you.
Well, appreciate it. Yeah, this is going to be a blast. I mean, I kind of jumped at the opportunity because I think, I mean, if you don't subscribe to The Athletic, now I sound like a company man. You're really not getting, I think, all the NFL, you know, coverage you can get. I pretty much read, you know, read it front to back, old newspaper term, pretty much every day. I love the writers. I have so many of them are really good friends. I mean, my buddy Mike Silver came over from NFL Network. I think he's still one of the best NFL writers in football. Jordan Rodriguez, outstanding. Like, they just cover it so well, and they're such a great reputation, and the chance to, you know, jump on with them as they look to get more involved in podcasts and video. And you see this happening with a lot of print places. SI is doing it. Like, just seeing the value in that. And so I've known both of them and Diana and Chase for so long. And so just the opportunity to work with people that I know well, want to talk football, want to have fun. It's been a blast. But then, you know, during this year, like Steve Smith and I created a show, and we're still going to be doing that moving forward. And so getting a chance to do, you know, insider work for Bleacher Report and just all these different places I can kind of like wear different hats, be a different host, reporter, insider, analyst. Just knowing this league and the way I've covered it over the last decade has been super fun, and now getting a chance to do it in a bunch of different platforms, I think that's kind of, you know, really appealing to me, is being able to go to all these spots. But The Athletic's going to be a blast. We have such a great stable of writers that are going to be jumping on there. Like, I'm doing an interview with Mike Sando coming up today about his quarterback tiers.
Yeah, we did that earlier. We hit that earlier in the show.
Yeah. And so I'm gonna find out what was on the editing room floor, guys. You know, see what was not in a piece, which I don't know. It's so long. I don't know if there's anything left.
Well, it's always, you know, there's stuff that ends up on the editing room floor because you don't want to become a Nolan Naraki. So you gotta, like, there's always a lot of more information out there that. Well, and one thing about James, and this is where it's relevant to the Texans, is I do think from the very beginning when I first knew you at CSN Houston, I was impressed by, I think you just have a certain relatability, and I think because we were joking about ethics earlier, you are very careful, I think, to always do right by the athletes that you're covering, and you try to approach it with a journalistic integrity that maybe it's not the standard in some parts of the business anymore. So I really enjoy when you write about the Texans or when you report about the Texans, it's usually something that you've been very careful about, but that it is meaningful. And I say all that to preface just like, what's the scuttlebutt, or what are you feeling about Nick Caley, CJ Stroud, everything around the Texans so far this offseason?
Yeah, honestly, it's kind of a team that's going under the radar, and I'm not entirely sure why. Like, nationally, I do think, obviously, people are scratching their head and go, all right, what's with the offensive line? Because you mentioned the two guys that are a big part of that offense, and Nick and CJ. But obviously, it doesn't really work if you didn't fix the offensive line. I honestly think if I call around, the majority of people would tell me that it's one of the most important, I don't know, decisions, position groups to figure out in the entire league. Because I think a lot does hinge on them. Because I think – when I say they're going under the radar, it's kind of like they're not getting the attention during camp because there's these other massive storylines, whether it's Shedeur Sanders or it's Matthew Stafford's back, or, you know, these rookie quarterbacks, or the Broncos are getting a ton of love right now because Sean Payton's really pushing that narrative out there. I think people forget how they finished the season with the injuries that they had. And I was at that game in Kansas City that, like, they gave them a run for their money in the postseason. And this is a team that when you ask people in the know, it's they have a really good general manager. They have a really good young head coach. They have a quarterback that in a lot of people's minds is a top 10 player and probably wasn't done right by the way this offense went in year two. I think there's a lot of high expectations by certain people. I just don't think they're being spoken about enough.
James Palmer is joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Hey, James, let's drill down a little bit on the C.J. Stroud part of this. You mentioned Mike Sando's QB tiers article that we talked about earlier in the show. C.J.'s tied for ninth on there. Tied for ninth with the reigning defending Super Bowl MVP, which they're probably in Philly. I know you've got some Philly history as well. They're probably feeling a certain kind of way about that in Philly, I would imagine. But as far as C.J. goes, do you think that ranking is fair? And among the criticisms, I guess, of CJ in year two, which ones do you think are valid, and maybe which one do you think is the most unfair?
Well, I think his spot is accurate. I think he's a top 10 quarterback in this league. And I think the rookie season was so outstanding that, you know, everybody calls it a sophomore slump that comes out there when any guy doesn't live up to the rookie season. We'll see what Jane Daniels does, because his is even, you know, in terms of, you know, popularity and talk, I would say, is maybe overshadowed CJ's a little bit if you compare the two. But I just don't think there wasn't an evolution. And I think that's kind of the one thing that I've been kind of told, asking around about it, is that, you know, he wanted to grow. He wanted to have more on his plate mentally. He wanted to have more say at the line. He wanted to have more options and more, you know, and they did that stuff at Ohio State, honestly. Again, OH national champions. But he was able to kind of do some of these things at Ohio State that they didn't do before he got there. And they did it because of him. So I think he's going to have more command of an offense moving forward. And I think that's something that he wanted. I think some of the criticisms that you mentioned, it's like it's sometimes holding on the ball a little bit. I think he wants to make plays. I think finding that balance is something that we've seen a lot of these guys try to make, right? I think Josh Allen has been finding that balance, and it took him a minute to do it. I think Mahomes is finding that balance, you know, about holding on to the ball and making good decisions with it. But, like, the arm mechanics are outstanding. Like, he's a better athlete than people thought. And so, like, this guy has everything to be a top 10 quarterback. And if he's already at 9, I think it's a pretty, you know, considering the way some people picked apart his sophomore season, I think it's actually a pretty good ranking.
You know, it's funny when you mentioned that it seems like the Texans are flying under the radar. I got a text from Greg Rosenthal yesterday from the NFL Network. Basically saying, like, hey, so what's going on with the Texans? Like, nobody's really saying much about them at all. I feel like because of CJ Stroud and the fact that most people are pretty bullish on him, it just feels like in the national media, people have almost just kind of set him off to the side, and they're waiting for one more year to really want to say anything conclusive about his trajectory right now. Is that about the feel that you get?
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. And I don't, you know, the first thing that I was thinking, I was like, you know, he just plays the position pretty well, and he plays it kind of quietly a lot of times. He makes big throws. He makes a lot of really good decisions. He moves the football up and down the field. Like, I'm not sure what people are looking for to pay attention more, but I think it's a recency bias, I think. I mean, like, that's how the Jaden Daniels thing's going. I mean, like, Shedeur Sanders blew up the world beating down on some twos and threes in a preseason game. And I think that's kind of where a lot of the attention goes. And I think there should be more attention. And the other part is, like, you got Holdens all over the league, right? I mean, you got Micah Parsons, who Jerry's finding a way that he's talked about every single day, circus that's going on there. And then, you know, Trey Hendrickson and James Cook's back on the field, and then he's not on the field. And, like, CJ just kind of goes about his business. Like, if you talk to anybody about how he worked in the offseason, like, he was back in there immediately and working on getting 1% better every day. I know these are kind of cliches, but that's kind of the way he operates. And I think maybe the attention comes after this year. He goes out and balls. He got a lot of new weapons. I mean, Steve and I on our show like the world of Higgins. And so, like, I think if you start to see this offense really go out there and put some points on the board and play the way, maybe matching the way this defense plays, I think that's the one group that maybe is getting the attention in Houston, that this is going to be one of the best defenses in football. I think then people will start noticing and remembering maybe the way that rookie season went.
All right, you just brought up something interesting, James. We're talking to James Palmer, NFL insider here on Sports Radio 610. You brought up Micah Parsons, Trey Hendrickson, James Cook. I'll throw Terry McLaurin in there as well, a guy who's in a contract dispute. Of those,
another Buckeye, no big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Of those four, which one do you think has the best chance of ending in an outcome that is not a long-term contract with the team they're on right now? Like, the most, like, anything dramatic, that either they get traded or they walk in free agency eventually. Like, which one is the most acrimonious or just kind of sideways to where it ends in something other than a long-term deal with their existing team?
Probably say Trey Hendrickson. I honestly truly believe that this Micah Parsons thing is for show. Like, I mean, Jerry just had a Netflix premiere last night for the 90s Cowboys or whatever, like the last time this team's been relevant for performance on the field. Like, and so this has happened with each guy over the years. We're still talking about Micah, and every show is leading with the Cowboys, yet, you know, they didn't make the playoffs and they hired an internal head coach and Brian Schottenheimer. No shot to Shoddy, but, like, there's not a lot of flash there. but we're still talking about him all the time. I really think this is the way Jerry does business, because there's a track record that he does. I think Terry will not take like a 1-year sweetener deal. I do think they understand how important he is to that offense. How, you know, I made the comparison that like his importance to Jaden Daniels in year two could be compared to the way things got stagnant in Houston in year two for CJ. Like the offense didn't evolve. Well, if you want your offense to evolve, you're going to need your number one weapon back in camp. And so I think they do come to a conclusion, even though their numbers have been far apart for a while. And Trey, the reason, you know, and James Cook's back on the field, and I think they're pretty close in numbers to my understanding. So with Trey, that's the one where you have a guy in a tremendous golf attire out there during OTAs, doing a press conference on the field about why he doesn't want to be there. He's in Cincinnati for the start of camp, and then you know, post pictures about driving down to Jacksonville when the numbers aren't there. It's been the one that's been the hardest to predict, and it's because he's asking the Bengals to change their precedent. And he has every right to ask what he's asking, because my understanding, the AVP is kind of up there with Hunter and with Max and maybe even above them, but they won't guarantee him what they guaranteed in terms of money with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't do that for T. Higgins, but they did it for Chase and Burrow, and they're at the tops of their position. Well, if they're willing to pay Trey Hendrickson at the top of his position, why wouldn't you give him the same equal guarantees? And that's been the sticking point there. And this one's just been the one that's the most all over the place. So I think that's the one that's probably been the most unpredictable.
Speaking with James Palmer, you can follow him on X at James Palmer TV. He's a co-host on Scoop City, the Scoop City podcast on The Athletic as well. The 89 podcast with Steve Smith is very, very good. I love watching that with you and him. But we were talking about the Browns earlier, James, and Sean's in a predicament because he likes to hate listen to Browns, to Cleveland sports radio. And yet he's also, he's kind of come around to being in a huge reversal. He thinks he might be in Shedeur Sanders' corner right now.
It's big.
Ooh. But the big dynamic is still for me, all right, why is Dylan Gabriel ahead of Shedeur Sanders on the depth chart? And what's the potential for huge controversy there in Cleveland, given that as of right now, or at least before that preseason game, the Browns had Shedeur as their fourth best quarterback right now?
Yeah, well, he's been behind. And I mean, I went to this, it wasn't a pro day, guys. It wasn't a pro day. I went to the showcase in Boulder.
right.
Shedeur throw up there. And Steve and I went together, actually, and saw Travis Hunter and some. Keep your eye on Jimmy Horn Jr., by the way. He was outstanding in that showcase. He's there with the Panthers when you guys have your joint practice. Mm-hmm. He can really move light, but he can really move. But anyway, they knew in terms of the operation of an NFL offense, all of these things, Shedeur was kind of behind. Things were kind of set up for him to succeed in CU to make sure. And listen, you do that for your quarterback. But Gabriel, with all the snaps he had in college and the different offense he's been in, he just understood the operation more. They really truly believe Dylan can play meaningful snaps this season. Like he's prepared to have that happen at some point. And a lot of the, you know, we can sift through, I think it's been done enough, the draft process with Shedeur, but some of the stuff was definitely very real in terms of him having some work to do. Now he's put in the work, to my understanding, and he's obviously the type of guy that when the lights come on, he's Deion's son. He plays his best and he shows, you know, that he can make some throws. There were definitely NFL throws in there, but I would be trying to say how I say this. The Browns are not as high as the general public right now on what happened after that preseason game and what has happened through camp. I would put it that way. I wouldn't say they're down on him. They think he's developing the way a rookie quarterback should hopefully develop. But I think Joe still probably starts the season. But I think they understand that they put themselves in a very Browns way, Sean, in this predicament with four quarterbacks and multiple first-round picks in 2026 when there's going to be a bunch of quarterbacks. So it's fascinating to watch because they do have to figure out between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur if they have a starter, have some in the future, because they might want to make a run on one in 2026. I think the Saints have gone about it in a better way. They may win four or five games this year, but at least they'll know if Tyler Shuck's the guy or not, and then they'll be right at the top of the draft to reset and get one of these guys. Maybe it's Arch Manning going back to Grandpa's zone down there in New Orleans. But so I just think it's so much that Kevin Stefanski has to sift through. I would just say they're much more realistic on Shedeur than probably the national perception.
And then there's Deshaun posting pictures from inside the Browns facility yesterday on his stories. Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah, he's still there.
He's still there, too. Yeah, it's crazy.
Still there.
It's crazy.
He was on a yacht, Peloton on a yacht the other day.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, no, he's a travel influencer. He's not a quarterback. He's a travel influencer.
Oh.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best.
It was like a drone shot. I think his wife now, I believe, was laying on a lounge chair next to him. He was on like a Peloton on a yacht, and then the drone like flew away while he was working out.
What was the hashtag?
Well, I'll go look it up during the break. This is where I'm a little surprised when you, James, you said his wife, I believe, because if you follow Deshaun on Instagram, he tweeted out pictures from his wedding for the next 2 weeks afterwards because it probably cost $5 million. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He wouldn't stop sending out pictures of his wedding. I'm like, all right, we got it. You're married. I understand.
Well, yeah, but he's also married to an influencer.
When I was in Japan, I might have missed the time. Yeah.
Exactly. James Palmer, Scoop City Podcast, 89 Podcast, insider for Bleacher Report, and our dear, dear friend as well. James, when are you coming down to Houston? Do you have your schedule for the traveling during the season or anything yet, or is it still a work in progress?
I don't yet, but I was on the phone with Steve yesterday actually, and he was trying to get me to come down because he'll be down for the joint practice. So keep an eye for Steve Smith on the sideline. He'll be down for the joint practice and calling the game for Panthers TV, and so he'll be down there for a few days. He wanted me to come down and play a little golf with him. That's his big thing. I think he's pretty good. I'm not sure, but. Okay. I can see him getting very angry at the ball.
well, yeah. Steve Smith.
Don't go well. But keep an eye for Smitty out there and ask him about, if you can, about he really, really likes Jaden Higgins a lot.
Okay.
When we went through our process, I'm not going to lie. So, see if you can pick Smitty's brain while he's down there. But he tried to get me to come down, but I don't think it's happened.
All right. I'm going to name drop you when I walk up to him. Is that okay?
Oh, do it. 100%. Okay.
Awesome.
That's my guy.
Awesome. All right. James Palmer joining us here on Sports Radio 610. James, great to catch up. Congrats again on the addition of you to the Scoop City Podcast, and we'll talk again soon, my friend.
Oh, appreciate it, guys. You're the best. Love you.
Yep, love you too, man. Appreciate you. That's James Palmer joining us here on the show. All right, we went a little over, but that was worth it to catch up with James Palmer. When we come back, we'll circle back to the Astros. Carlos Correa, the biggest reason he is excited to be back with the Houston Astros is coming up next.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At first, it was surreal. You know, I never thought I would get the chance to put on this uniform again. And, you know, I'm blessed that I get to do this again in front of all the fans here in Houston. We're very happy, to say the least. My whole family is super excited. And, you know, it's been a good week, and we just want to keep going.
Oh, yeah. Family's excited, man. I saw the picture. That was Carlos Correa. I saw the picture on social media last night with his wife. She had the City Connect jersey on, and she was with his two kids. Just kind of in the, you know, either out on the concourse or in the bowels of the stadium somewhere. And they were just over the moon to be back in Houston. It sounds like from all the interviews I've seen with Carlos is that they kept a home in Houston. The family, like the extended family, still lives in Houston. So this is a fortuitous move. And Carlos gets all his money, too. I'm guessing the checks all come from the Astros, but the Astros got some nice checks from the Minnesota Twins. We thank them for that. We thank them for being the Twins.
They've gotten pretty good at doing that, at bringing guys back into the fold while another organization pays for part
it's
of your
nice.
Guy's salary.
Yeah, yeah. It's really nice. Here was Carlos.
It feels like something you'd be selling on a infomercial. Here's how to hire great employees, but have somebody else pay their salaries.
Right.
You can all get it with my system.
Yep. Tiny classified ads. That's the key. Don LaPree. Here was Carlos Correa yesterday before the game. This is what he is most excited about in coming back to the Houston Astros.
The best thing about being back with the Astros, I get to play with Jose Altuve again. To be honest with you, as soon as I got to Boston, I gave a big hug. I told him I missed him. He's an unbelievable player, but you know the human side of it. When I get to hang out with him after the games, we get to go eat after games. We get just to talk chop and we talk at the same level. It's something that I definitely miss a lot, and I get to do it again, so I'm not gonna take it for granted.
I totally get that. I totally get wanting to be around Jose Altuve as much as you can possibly be around arguably the nicest athlete in the history of the city.
The thing that free agents from other teams always say when they come into Houston without having been here previously is that the culture is just different, that the locker room's different. And it's hard to point to a lot of other people other than Jose Altuve at this point, because he's a guy that's been there through a lot of through that culture. So and these two, obviously, they've been very, very good friends for a long, long time. It's got to be pretty cool.
They got brought up a lot, Seth, when they were going through that stretch in June where they were winning games and we had no idea how they were doing it. Mm-hmm. They talked to a lot of the guys who had come in here, like Christian Walker and other guys who had come in here as new players, and saying, well, this place is just really, really different. And they'd get asked why. And the answer always circled back to Jose Altuve. I think that's where Carlos Correa coming back, I think, from a leadership standpoint, is excellent for this team, because you've got two different leadership types. I think Altuve is a lead by example guy, and he's the guy that if he is doing it, you do it. If he is not doing it, you do not do that thing. Whereas Correa is a way more, I think, just my perception is this. I'm not in the clubhouse, but my perception is he's just way more of an extroverted leadership style, you know?
They don't really have, the one thing they're missing is a Jonathan Papelbon type of leadership.
Nut job.
They don't have anybody that's going to choke a teammate right now. So I think, sure, that might actually be one of the strengths of the culture, but maybe there's room for one guy that's willing to choke his teammate in the dugout.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So that was good. So Carlos Correa, his first chance back here at Daikin Park last night to get to meet with the media, play. They beat the Red Sox 7-6 last night. The bad news is Josh Hader has a shoulder injury, which we've not gotten any updates on. The Joe Espada said after the game last night that they're taking a look at it to see what's up. But this is not good. Josh Hader with a he's an all-star, and you get into the I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I was about to say, you get into the postseason, if this is anything that's any level of serious, you get into the postseason and you can't feel comfortable about shortening a game down to a 7 or 8 inning game. That's a problem for this team.
It's I don't think we don't have to tell anybody anymore. Yeah, it's okay to get alarmed by any Astros player having discomfort or soreness or something. Yeah. The most recent examples as of late, I mean, Paredes, that hadn't turned out so hot. McCullers had his finger blister, and that was much more than 10 days ago. I don't know what to do. There was nowhere in my brain where I had kind of accounted for the loss of Josh Hader potentially.
No.
It's freaking me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I almost haven't really tried to process it because I'm just trying to do the traditional thing of just wait and see. And it's something minor and it's a 10 day IL. Maybe it's not even that. I don't know how to process it.
Oh. And he just threw 36 pitches on Friday, you know, so how much of the shoulder soreness had to do with, you know, he pitched two innings in the win over the Yankees on Friday, so how much of that, I hate this for the Astros. They are one game up on Seattle. I tweeted this last night, Seth. You know, last night was homecoming night for Bregman and Correa and Javier as well, but specific to Bregman, I tweeted this, and this got a lot of very diverse opinions. I said, Bregman got a standing ovation during his tribute video pregame. Acceptable. Mm-hmm. Some fans stood again, ovation style, during his first at-bat. Unacceptable. Many fans booed in his second and third at-bats. Acceptable. I said, once that tribute video is over, he's the enemy. If you stood and cheered in his first at-bat, you're a putz.
I'm okay with them standing and cheering it.
Yeah.
Come on, Sean. I don't know.
Just stood for the guy 5 minutes ago.
I'm sorry. It was a nice gesture by the fans and by Bregman himself, perhaps. And then they booed. They flipped. Not everybody booed, obviously. I kind of like that it went to such extremes in the course of just one, not even a full game, you know, over the course of a few innings. They went from the standing ovation to like, okay, we got that out of our system. Now we're enemies.
To be clear, I'm cool with the booing, even though I'm not a huge booer myself, but I'm cool with the spirit behind it, which is he's the enemy now. Totally cool with the standing ovation during the tribute video. I stood myself and filmed the tribute video so I could share it with people who weren't in the building last night. And it wasn't everybody, but it was a couple people across the aisle from me and Amy that he comes up, and you got to understand, this is literally like less than 10 minutes after the tribute video, and they stand again. I'm like, no, the game has started. I almost grabbed them by the lapels, and I said, what are you doing? And I threw them back down in their seat.
But Sean, if you have great memories of the Astros after they, you know, won a couple of World Series, went to four, all of those things, if you have some fond memories of that, should it be that simple of a division? Should it be just black and white and that's it and that's all it ever will be? Do I abandon my fond memories of Alex Bregman and bury them somewhere deep in my subconscious?
No,
like so many other things? But no, I don't want to do that. I want to enjoy the wholesome things in life, Sean.
I get it. And I'm the first to
say, and it's baseball.
Yeah, no, I and I'm the first to tell people, don't tell other people how to fan, which is exactly what I'm doing. So I understand all that. Look, text coming in, all caps here. All facts, Sean. I agree. Thank you, Texter. Thank you very much. Who agrees with me? Do I need to pender poll this?
We've got two divisive things, all on the squishy, squishy side of things. One, how should Alex Bregman have been treated? And two, are football players being too emotional when they see their quarterback or when they see their teammates getting injured? And those two things, no X's and O's, no chalk talk, no inside baseball, just very much about like, nope, this is the way the world should be.
Touchy-feely.
Nope, this is the way the world should be.
Touchy.
And there's a stark divide on both these topics.
There are. In fact, I'm guessing that'll come up in the final segment. We need to circle back to Brevin Jordan, who suffered to this point, undisclosed injury. I've not seen any reports on what exactly it was. It didn't look good, didn't sound good, didn't feel good, all of those things. Where do the Texans go? Who does this open up a spot for with Brevin Jordan? Whose chances of making the team? It may not be as simple as just, hey, Luke Lachey, next man up. Depending on how they put this roster together, I think there's at least one name that had maybe that you're not thinking of that had their chances of making the team increase fairly significantly yesterday. I'll tell you who that is coming up next.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fortunately, we guys are here. We saw Brevin go down with injury. We'll continue to evaluate Brev and see, you know, where he is. It's tough for everybody to see Brevin going down, knowing how much work he's put in to get back to this point of playing football and how excited he was to get back playing football. So just praying for him to have a successful return.
Yeah, we'll see. We haven't heard any news on Brevin Jordan's injury yet. The scene around the injury yesterday in the bubble was, I would say, like 90% similar to the scene that you and I witnessed, Seth, with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, just in terms of the gravitas of it, everybody taking a knee, the cart coming out, taking the player off the field. The big difference was Brevin Jordan was like vocally, loudly emotional, like loud crying. Like he's coming back from an ACL tear. So we don't know if it's a re-tear of the ACL. We just know, to D'Amico's point, he had worked hard to get back to where he was. He was having a good camp too. Hell, he was having a good practice. He caught like a 30-yard downfield shot from C.J. Stroud one or two plays before the play in which he got injured. So that was a tough scene yesterday for Brevin Jordan, who brings something different when healthy to that tight end room that is difficult to replicate at that position for this team. And yeah, athleticism.
With Brevin Jordan himself coming off of the long recovery from an ACL, and he's been very vocally happy about just the fact that he can even go out and practice football. He's just loving every minute of it. I hope that the like extreme, you know, emotional or at least vocal output from Brevin Jordan had, I hope that it was emotional more so than than it was an actual, like, a devastating injury.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just something that, boy, in the moment, it just felt like it was a huge setback. We don't know until we get updates. And I would imagine we'll find out something this afternoon.
Yeah.
Because if it is a devastating injury, we're going to know today. And or we would have had it leak already. So maybe that's a good sign. From the football side of things, I feel good about Cade Stover. Cade Stover still has some developing to do. Dalton Schultz, I think, may have had some injury issues last year that were holding him back, and that I think this offense might be good for Dalton Schultz. But Brevin Jordan provided an X factor and a different type of athlete that you want. Your wide receiver room is kind of like your tight ends room is a little bit like your wide receivers room, where you want different types of guys. You know, you want a more physical guy that's a good blocker. You want a guy who's more of an athlete and can be used as a slot receiver. You want a guy who's kind of a combo guy. And Brevin Jordan provided that bulky slot receiver type of dude that could line up out wide, could line up in the backfield. You could do some creative things with him.
Yeah, I don't know if this guy was already making the team or not, but if he wasn't, I feel like this increases the chances for Jakob Johnson to make it as that sort of, as a hybrid tight end fullback. I mean, obviously very different player than Brevin Jordan, but I don't think the team's going to look at it and go, well, we need to go find somebody that's really fast that plays hybrid tight end. It's just they may have to cobble together the back end of the roster with a different kind of way. And I feel like that increases the chances of them. Because I don't know who the third tight end is going to be right now. It's Dalton Schultz, it's Cade Stover. I know Luke Lachey they drafted in the seventh round.
Irv Smith's been injured. I mean, he did some good things there at the end of the year. Yep. That one long drive in the Chiefs playoff game, Irv Smith did some nice things as a blocker.
Yep.
So it's you've got options. It's just that, yeah, this was a valuable part of your offense. We don't know exactly what the injury was or how severe it was.
The other thing this has turned into is a referendum on C.J. Stroud's kind of mannerisms after an injury like this. And I kind of just walked into this on Twitter yesterday because I came on with the guys in the afternoon, and we don't have the audio, but I'll read. Thank you to Sideline Sarah, who transcribed my description of the scene. I called into Clint and Ron yesterday afternoon to kind of give them the feet on the street, eyes on the injury sort of report as to what happened with Brevin Jordan. And they asked me, as a follow-up to all the Brevin stuff, they said, you know, was there anything else noteworthy about the scene going on out there? And I said, well, C.J. Stroud was taking it kind of hard. And I said this, quote, C.J. walked off by himself, which he did. It wasn't a Tank Dell scene for C.J. in terms of the tears, but C.J. clearly with his body language and kind of separating himself from everybody else, you could tell that C.J. was visibly emotional, end quote. So I said that on their show. I get home and I pull out my phone, and there's all these push notifications from Twitter with replies and things like that, that it had been reported on 610 that CJ was crying like he was in the Chiefs game. And I'm like, no, I specifically said that he wasn't crying.
Yeah.
Either way, crying or no crying, it turned into sort of a referendum, I think, on their show about does CJ have the right demeanor when things like this happen? Because he was clearly affected by it. He wasn't crying, but I could tell you he was clearly affected by it yesterday.
This is where I've settled in on this, Sean. I've decided, because you can have a knee-jerk reaction one way or the other, where I think it's a little bit more complicated in that I think CJ, and CJ crying when Tank Dell got injured last year was notable because it's not something you normally see. It's just, and immediately when you see something you don't normally see, you either hate it or you love it. You either think it's the worst thing in the world or you think it's a display of empathy, whatever it might be. There's a spectrum of how guys respond to this. For me, it's really my attitudes about whether a quarterback or a player cries when somebody gets injured. I'm going to approach it the same way I would approach maybe if you're hanging out with a lady friend and you get a little too excited a little too quickly.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Maybe it's after your first date, or maybe somebody you've been married to for 30 years. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But you get a little too excited.
A little too excited, yeah.
It's only a big deal if you can't recover quickly and get back in the game.
Okay.
So that's whatever your initial emotional response is, you got to get your head back in the game. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. I just want to be sure that if a guy has that extreme emotional reaction, it's great that he cares about his teammates. I just want to be sure that also he can then compartmentalize and get your head back in the game.
Okay. You did a nice job with that analogy. I just want to tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think that
without making it too.
The people that know what you're talking about know what you're talking about, and I don't think.
Okay, good.
I think you generated
sometimes
any
you
questions.
Just get overly excited about things, but then you calm down, and then you get back into it.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
So that's where for CJ or anybody else, it's cool. It's good that you care about your teammates. It's awful to see them get injured, but then you got to draw a hard line and get back in the game.
Yes.
And then, if anything, a lot of times, you know, when we're talking about the situation with your lady friend, you end up being even better after that.
Yeah. Well,
because some of the pent-up emotion and energy and everything has just been diffused a little bit.
I will point out that once D'Amico gathered the team, talked to them for a few minutes, and they continued with practice, you know how that drive ended? The very drive that Brevin Jordan was injured upon? Touchdown Dalton Schultz. CJ got back in the game like you asked him to, Seth.
Good.
Yeah.
And I mean, he pleased Dalton Schultz. That was, ideally you'd be doing it with the same partner, but you know, that wasn't going to be the case with Revan Jordan.
See, I see the partner in this analogy as the coaching staff, you know, like he pleased them. So that's,
And we said earlier, there's like a broad spectrum of what guys show emotion in which situations. Dick Vermeil was a very emotional guy.
Yeah.
He cried all the time.
Yep.
To the point where, according to some of the guys that played for him, it kind of got to be tiresome how much he cried.
Yep.
But it's not like it kept him from being a great coach. Whereas then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got guys like Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, now who are, you know, better, they're higher on the power ranking than Dick Vermeil, but they were the exact opposite of that and never showed hardly any emotion at all.
I got two things in terms of how I feel about this topic. One, I would say it was a practice. You know what I mean? This isn't the bedside manner or the managerial style that you're showing or your presidentiality that you're showing in the midst of a playoff game or in the case of the CJ last year, week 16 in Kansas City. This is a practice that's got a couple dozen media members at it, so you emote how you want to emote, and it wasn't nearly to the extent, I'll repeat, that it was in that Kansas City game. I think the second thing is, even if it were, like, I think this is part of what's baked into the good part of C.J. Stroud. I think a lot of the things that make C.J. Stroud a good leader and a good teammate, a good friend, are things that end up revealing themselves or manifesting themselves the way they do when guys that he is very fond of get injured. I think this is just, there's like Brett Favre, I'll take the opposite with Brett Favre. People love the gunslinger in him until he throws interceptions. That's part of, you know what I mean? Like part of setting the record at one time for touchdown passes, the way Brett Favre did it, was he was also the record holder for interceptions. So whatever you perceive, whether you perceive this particular character trait of CJ Stroud as bad in some way, I think it's part and parcel and also like kind of interwoven with what I feel like is the heavy balance sheet towards what I would say is good for CJ Stroud, you know?
Yeah, what's the quickest you've recovered from crying in your life? What have you ever just like had to do a quick turnaround, like you had an emotional moment and everything and you're like, all right, I got to get back in the game?
I don't know, a few minutes. A few minutes.
I think I like it. Sometimes at like funerals, one of the things that sucks about becoming an adult is when you realize about all the behind the scenes stuff that goes into things like funerals and whatnot. And that, oh man, boy, I am actually really emotionally in a bad place right now. But I got to get the hors d'oeuvres out. I've been at funerals a lot. I think where I'm kind of like, you have your moment and you're like, but I also, and
the
then you got
important
then,
stuff.
And you've got a babysitter at home or stuff, like all this other stuff that, you learn to. But that's where you learn also is that's one of the best ways to, at least in the moment, get out of an emotional funk.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got stuff to do. All right. Get it together. I got to get it together.
What's yours?
Funerals.
No. Like how long? Like I said, a few minutes for me. Like what is it for you?
I was about like 3.7 seconds.
Yeah.
I've learned mastery over my, the more raw human emotions for me. It used to be anger was my big struggle and I had to figure that out. I can snap myself out of being angry in about it very, very quickly.
Where are you on the crier scale? Like, are you on a scale of 1 to 10, like 1 being no faucets, 10 being constant faucets? Where are you on the crying scale? Like how much do you cry?
I get, okay, if it's a soldier being surprising a family member, yep, where they're reuniting, yep, that one's almost, I get teary,
yeah,
pretty quickly with that.
Yeah.
These days, I'm definitely more prone to crying now than
too.
I was when I was younger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just thinking about stuff,
yeah,
in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like thinking about people you love, or if then you imagine somebody you love dying or something.
Yeah.
You know? Especially if I have a good life insurance policy on them, then the waterworks really.
Oh
come.
Yeah, tears of tears of joy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna be rich. Yeah, from one to Vermeil. Yeah, I'm like a 5 or a 6 probably. Lopez is nodding his head during.
Yeah,
this
because when I was like 30, 35, I was probably like a 3 or a 4.
Yeah,
and now I'm like a 7 or an 8.
Oh, it's like TV shows.
When you get older,
me in movies. Yeah,
when you get older, it's just like, I don't know. I guess you just settle down and you're more mature, yeah, and you get more in your feelings. And
there's
stuff.
Reggie scoffing at all of us over here. Probably.
He's a 2, yeah, right now, yeah, but he'll be a 9.
Where are you on the crier scale?
Yeah, Reggie? I'm very low. I probably am a 2. Mm-hmm. I'll tear up at instances.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not happy about it.
You're disgusted with yourself.
Yeah, no, for real. Like I'm very much not a crier. For a good amount of time, I was concerned as to like why it didn't hit me as hard when my maternal grandmother passed.
Oh, okay.
Like I was like, oh, I've seen people have their grandparents pass,
yeah,
and I've seen how they are, and I was like, I don't think I feel that way. Why don't I?
Yeah.
But like, if I am experiencing sadness, I won't allow myself to cry, and I think that's a bad thing because, like, why am I fighting it? But it'll sit with me for a while.
Okay.
Like, it will sit there and linger. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. Now I'm just, this is a therapy session.
I know. That's what I feel like.
I'm trying to figure that out with myself, but it's in there somewhere.
I'll tell you what, man. It's kind of like crying to me. It's kind of like vomiting. It's like you fight it, and then once it happens, you're like, "Oh, why didn't I do that sooner?"
Right. Yeah,
I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
very cleansing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Question of the day, boys.
Question of the day. So, Josh Hader felt discomfort. Quotes.
Yeah.
After doing plyometrics, and we talked about this yesterday on the show. I was working on a workbench on Saturday or Sunday. And I dropped a hammer on my toe. And
dummy.
Pretty much, yes. What's the silliest way you've ever injured yourself?
Okay, so mine is...
and just on the hammer thing, real quick.
I've got one.
On the hammer thing, I drew the hammer back.
Yeah.
And it flew into the air. And then you know how you try to catch it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez.
I tried to catch it. So it went like 2 feet higher and then came straight down.
Oh, wow.
On my bare feet, which is the dumbest thing I did.
You shouldn't have been hammering things with bare feet.
And so it landed right on my toe.
Okay, I'll do mine quick because Seth is excited about his real quick.
Oh.
It was both times I broke my collarbone.
Mm-hmm.
The first time, my friend Jay Forcelina tackled me in Chris Cobb's front yard our senior year in high school. We were just messing around one day after school. We had to go back to school for something.
Yeah.
Like, let's go to Chris's house, probably to drink beer. And Jay Forcelina wraps up on me as we're throwing the football around in the front yard and screams, "Lawrence Taylor!" And then he slams me on the ground, it's a time capsule, breaks my collarbone. The second time I broke it was 14 years later.
Oh, wow.
A hairline fracture this time. It was a clean break the first time. Hairline fracture. Me and Ken Hoffman were busy winning the Texas All-Star Wrestling Tag Team titles
at
a show at the Humble Bingo Hall, and I got slammed on my shoulder, and I had a hairline fracture of my collarbone.
I thought it was fake.
It's scripted.
It's scripted.
It's not fake.
Very real.
I know.
The bumps are real.
Reality is a construct, John.
Yeah.
So this happened this weekend. I was somewhere. I was out like doing something in a bush for my wife. I had to just trim up this bush a little.
All right, Lopez.
All right, wait a second. Jeez.
What?
All right, I was doing some yard work.
There we go.
And I started walking back towards the house. And there's like something hits me in the head, and I'm like I thought it was gonna be a horse fly or something, and I kind of waved at it, and it hit me again in the head, and I'm like, I'm waving at it thinking I've got a horse fly or something after me, and I look behind me and I see the black and yellow of either a bee or a wasp or something, I don't know, and it wouldn't stop. And I'm thinking, I'm starting to think, like, I'm looking all around me, and I start kind of jogging towards the house because I thought there was a swarm of bees after me.
Yeah.
And I started flailing around. I started panicking a little bit.
I wish I could see this.
I ignored every bit of advice I've ever given to a child, where I'm like, the bee's not going to hurt you. Don't worry. Just don't freak out, and it's not going to do anything. I ended up, as I'm flailing around for this bee, I whack myself on the bridge of my nose with the... any of the wrestlers out there know, it's like right what you would use to crossface somebody. It's the hard part on the inside
the
of your wrist.
Flat part.
Like, right, right on my nose. And I mean, it's still red right now. And I don't even remember. The bee stung me right about that region. So luckily it died because it deserved it, but I'm a little bit embarrassed that I freaked out like I did and that I did almost break my nose with my own wrist.
Oh my God. That is tremendous.
That's why I'm always very staunch on the idea or of like pushing back on people that are like, well, if I was in that situation, I'm like, you have no idea. The emotions of the situation change your mindset by like 1,000%. Man.
I saw a pony get killed by a swarm of bees when I was a child.
Oh, no.
And I used to, I used to have this huge fear of bees, and I've gotten over it to the point where bees don't bother me at all. If there's one that lands on me, I kind of can just, I'll just wait for it to leave. It doesn't freak me out. But yeah, in that moment, and kind of because it caught me by surprise and I started thinking like, wait, is this a swarm? Can I just not see the other ones? I got to get the hell out of here. I'm gonna die like old Spud did. Yeah.
Spud?
Spud? Spud the pony. Spud the pony.
R.I.P.
Yes.
Oh, dude, that's a tough visual right colored. There.
Yeah.
That's a tough visual. A pony getting killed by a swarm of bees. Yikes.
Circle of life.
Yeah. We all got to go sometime.
Yeah. You know?
All right.
Is that where you thought you would dismount on the show today?
Yeah. Spud the pony. Sorry, Spud the pony. We all got to go sometime. All right, boys. Well, have a great show. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a quick refractory period to you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Amy, thanks you as well. We are done. We are out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.